So we announced at 6 and he's on the plane at 10. And so we're like going as fast as we can. We own our own drills. So we're just in the middle of servicing drills, getting our camp sorted out. Just want to make sure everything is healthy, safety, can accommodate the team and things like that. Well, and the field program literally kicks off on Thursday. It's like we're full steam ahead on the back of that financing, Steve.
Good morning. We have Terry Tucker, President CEO of Calla Gold. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Steve. Really nice to meet you.
Awesome. Looks like you got some news going on. If you can just kind of give our audience a general overview of your company and what you guys got going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. And last night, actually, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, in the intro, when we were talking privately, we actually just closed on a $4.1 million financing last night. Got that news out at about 6 o'clock Eastern time, and really well supported, not only with institutions, but globally. I mean, we have really great shareholders. Originally, I'll talk more about that later, Steve, about our shareholder structure, but really good group of people that are supporting us. And that focus and all of that work that we're going to be doing, or that funding, is for our project called Vatu Warm. And we own 100% of a 367 square kilometer land package in Fiji, which we're exploring for gold.
If you can tell us about the project, the jurisdiction, how big is it? How many acres we're talking about? What's so exciting? What are you digging up?
Yeah, so this is what's really exciting for me, Stephen. I joined Calla in about mid 2022, and I'm a geologist by training. I actually live in Switzerland myself, and I spent about 10 years prior to joining Calla doing a lot of due diligence and project reviews for high net worth individuals and funds here in Switzerland. And so I was presented an opportunity to come on board as and approach as being a CEO of Calla Gold. I had sort of thought I was going to hang up my CEO hat, but I decided to take it on. And the reason that I did that was that Calla was a really unique opportunity in that there was a property here in Fiji and it covers 367 square K. Calla owns 100% of it. But what's really interesting is that there was a compliant historical resource, about 140,000 ounces. There was some $25 to $30 million worth of exploration data on the property historically from Placer Dome, TVI Pacific. I mean, there's just been an endless amount of work done on this property. And most of the work that was done historically was really focused on this small resource. It's actually called Kirianga. And that was really the key focus of the company prior to me getting involved. And so I started to spend a lot more time working on doing compilation work and trying to get a handle on all of this other regional data that we had access to. And so as part of that, I worked with a consultant, a guy named Andy Randall. He's with a small consulting group in Vancouver called SGDS Hive. He's been really instrumental in, for example, Independence Gold's 3T's epithermal project. And I know Andy a long, long time ago, hired him with one of my first companies called Strata Gold Corp, moved him to Guyana. And the point of my story is that Andy came on, and between myself and Andy and our team, we spent literally 2 years compiling historical data, really focusing in on geology, really focusing in on historical geochemistry, really getting into the weeds on some of the geological reports. And this was the part that was really interesting in that the previous geologists recognized that there was a gold system here, but they never really kind of get their head around it geologically. So over the 2 years between 22 and middle of 2024, we had raised about $3 million. That was all done institutionally, Steve. I had a really great shareholder base. I had the Crescats and Pathfinder and Alpania, and Mike Gentile's been involved in the company since day one. Agentis Capital Management, Michael Gray had been involved in the company. So they had all supported us, and they were very patient in allowing us to get out and get this compilation work done. And so in the middle of last year, we had a very large group of investors out of a new fund in Hong Kong called Ascentis, who came and did a large due diligence program on the property. They came in, did another financing for us, Steve. They ended up owning 19.9% of the company. And we went out to prove our geological model And within 1 month, we were trenching and uncovering epithermal gold veins in less than a month. And this was in an area within about 3 kilometers of the original, of the Kirianga resource, the gold resource I was talking about. So we really went from all of the historical work, compiling it, coming up with a model, going out, raising a bit more cash. And in the October of last year, we proved that the model works. So on the back of that, what we did is that we then took another 15,000 samples, soil samples, between sort of September, October, November, and in January of this year, compiled all of the info. And then during February, we started to recognize that we had a really interesting and a really large scale epithermal gold system. Covers about 5 square kilometers. And this area had never been drill tested before. There have been lots of trenching done. There have been lots of mapping. There have been lots of soil sampling done. But the work that we did really was really key, was that we really started to focus in on some of the really pathfinder elements. And so I don't know if you're a geologist, Steve, but in my world as a geologist, one of the things that we really like to see are certain elements that are related to epithermal systems. And one of the things that's really important for Kalo and for Vatu Orum is selenium is a great pathfinder. Potassium depletion is a pathfinder. And we started to find these areas that were quite coincident, and they were falling long linear, 2+ long kilometer faults. These things all line up as like little pearls on a string. And we started to trench them. We started to realize that we had epithermal gold veins at surface. They run between 0.5 gram and about 3.5 grams per ton gold at surface. And like, for example, one target in particular called Dua, this one area, it's about 300 by 300 meter area. There was 31 epithermal veins we uncovered in less than a week. I mean, it was really, really cool that we actually were able to identify this so quickly. And on the back of that, and with understanding the geochemistry, we knew that the epithermal system was preserved. And what I mean by that is that in these epithermal gold systems, many times, like say in Northern Canada or other jurisdictions where you've had glaciation or weathering or erosion, you know, you might have the top of a gold system eroded away. And in this case, we actually have remnants of the hot pools and the hot springs at surface that show you that the entire gold system is preserved. So what we're doing now is that on the back of that, Steve, we went out, we started to talk to a lot of technical people like Steve Theron from 3L. We started working with 3L out of Toronto, Mike Souvenir and Kim McIntyre as bankers. They have a really great technical guy named Steve Theron. And we started to tell them what we're doing out here. And then on the back of that, Steve, we said we wanted to go and drill test these things and prove that not only do we have like in that XY dimension, but in the Z dimension is that we've got an epithermal gold system. So we actually started out with a strategy to raise about $2 million to drill up to about 4,500 meters. We were super well received. We marketed through most of April and really, really well received. And we actually ended up, as I had started this conversation, Steve, on closing on just over 4 million. So we are now like full on. My country manager and one of our directors, a guy named Mike Nesbitt, he's actually on site already. Mike flew down last week. One of our senior geologists, a guy named Zach Bueller from SUDS, he's literally on a plane and 2.5 hours from Nandi as we speak. So we announced at 6 and he's on the plane at 10. And so we're like going as fast as it can. We own our own drills. So we're just in the middle of servicing drills, getting our camp sorted out. Just want to make sure everything is healthy, safety, can accommodate the team and things like that. Well, and the field program literally kicks off on Thursday. It's like we're full steam ahead on the back of that financing, Steve. So I talked quite a bit there, Steve, and I hope that was kind of what you're looking for. But that kind of in a nutshell is my 5-minute elevator pitch, so to speak.
I love it. So you guys got financing, got several projects. You got stuff for exploration projects as well. Could you tell us a bit about what you else you got going on and what you plan to do with that 4 million to grow the company?
Yeah. So drilling is definitely a priority. That's for sure. With that budget, I put in a budget of around about 7,000 to 9,000 meters on the budget. It'll just depend a little bit on productivity. So I'm just trying to make sure I know exactly how that goes. In the balance of the funding, there's a significant amount of money that's going to go to some of our other regional targets. We've got two really important targets, one called Wainokoro and one called Dongoloa. And what's really cool is that I use a lot of artificial intelligence, and our team uses a lot of AI to synthesize data. And so what we've done is that we've created all of our old historical reports on areas outside of what I've been just talking about. So we've been talking about an area called Orem Prime, and there's two other main areas that had a huge amount of data. There was, soils and geochemistry and airborne again, and lots of geological reports from like the 60s and 70s and the 80s. So what I've done, Steve, is that I basically took the model that we created at Orem Prime. We've now basically went through and I've synthesized all the historical reports on these two other areas. I put out a news release about 2 weeks ago on one called Dongoloa, and we have an exact gold system that is like literally the same lookalike to what we have at Orem Prime at an area called Dongoloa. And Wainokoro, there was lots of work done prior to even me being involved at Wainokoro, it's called. And that area has got a lot of similarities, lots of really good high-grade gold samples at surface, lots of big soil geochem anomalies, but they've never been trenched and they've never been drilled. And so my view and what I want to do is that, like from the, very forward-looking is that, I'd really like to go out and drill test these targets that we've identified as I talked about in my first intro, Steve. And then second is that I want to continue to advance both Wainokoro and Dongoloa. For me, like little juniors like us, as we are right now, I mean, I see us as kind of quote an incubator, so to speak, that ultimately, like a major is going to look at us and say like, look, there is a regional play here. And I want to make sure that all of the targets on the property are advanced. I work a lot with one of my advisors, a gentleman named Paul Arbage. He comes out of Randgold. He's currently the CEO of Faraday Copper. I also do a lot of work with Dave Medlick, who's CEO of K92. He's one of our advisors as well. Alistair Still also with Gold Mining. So I've got a really solid technical team at the highest level, and they're very active. In fact, I have a call with Paul in 45 minutes. And what we do is that we want to ensure that all of these targets and all these, like, it's a big property, like 367 square kilometers. Like, I mean, it's huge. So, like, I mean, there's a lot of dirt to cover out here. And so we got to make sure that I advance all of those other targets. Like, it doesn't cost a lot to do this work. I want to make sure all those targets are advanced so that I've kind of got eventually a pyramid of like drill-ready targets, trenching targets, soil geochem targets, geological targets, and that I have a whole quote pipeline. I don't really like that word, but a whole series of targets that we can then advance. And that's what I feel is really attractive to especially a major who's looking for development of a big, large regional play, right? Somewhere where you can find, more than 100,000 ounces of gold, obviously.
So, can you tell us a little bit more about your team? You mentioned some players in your team. What kind of experience do they bring? What kind of experience and track record of success do you have that people can feel confident that Callao Gold's got a solid crew here?
Yeah, so my experience, Steve, I'm about 30 some odd years in the business. Went to University in Alberta, at University of Alberta. I started my career in Australia, in North Queensland, in Australia, and I was hadn't even graduated yet. I was 21, made my very first discovery when I was 21, mine that actually became a mine very quickly, where I was working. Then I in about 1995, I made the Wolverine deposit discovery in the Yukon. I was working with a company called Westman Resources that ultimately became a mine. In 2004, I created a company called Strata Gold Corp, which ended up putting together around about 6 million ounces in the company, eventually taken over in 2009 by Victoria Gold. And so after that, I spent a lot of time working in West Africa, Ethiopia. I was developing a large gold deposit called Tulu Kapi in East Africa. I bought the Kurunyoko gold deposit with, I don't know if you know, Gren Thomas and Ron Nedelisky, but two very famous gentlemen from geologists that have done very well in the business. I worked with them a lot in my early days of my career. I actually bought the big gold deposit called Kurrenjeld in Northern Ireland for $1 an ounce in the old days. So, Steve, I've done a lot of stuff. I like to buy things. I like to find things. I'm very good at it. And I think I can identify projects that, I mean, I really enjoy marketing and telling a story about a project that I truly believe in. And my view is that life is too short to market a piece of shit. Excuse my language, but
I'm fluent in French.
yeah, exactly. I just don't have I don't want to go and talk to my friends in London or Dubai or Norway or Zurich here and talk about a project that, isn't meaningful. So, I'm very aligned. I own about 9 million shares of the company myself, so I bought most of that in the market, so certainly well aligned with the shareholders. The balance of my team, really Andy Randall, from a technical point of view, is super, super important, Steve. He is absolutely critical. I have a lockup agreement with Andy, so he works with us over the next he's absolutely been key to making this a success, and his knowledge of epithermal gold systems. There's Kaylee Dunlop has been involved now. She's a senior project geo, is going to be running the project. Zach Bueller is involved in the project now. He's another geologist out of SGDS. And then, of course, I've mentioned my advisory board, Kevin Ma, CFO and corporate development. Super. Basically, Kevin and I, quote, run the company, like when it comes to ensuring that, make life goes on in Vancouver. And then Michael Nesbitt is absolutely critical for us as a director. So basically, Kevin and Mike and I are the only three actual full-time consultants to the company. Steve, we are the only three that are actually compensated on some sort of a regular compensation. And we run the company. We are responsible for every penny. I sign off on, I'm not exaggerating, I sign off on every dollar that gets spent in this company. I know what's going on between Kevin and I and Mike. The three of us have a call every 2 days. So we're a very hands-on team. And then, like I'd said, I think that some of our critical advisors, and especially Paul Harbridge, has been very active with us, and Dave Medalek with the K92 have been very active with us, Steve, on ensuring our success.
Harry, can we talk a little bit more about, you mentioned you had skin in the game. You can
Yep.
tell us more about equity ownership from the rest of your partners, or what percentage would you say are insiders in an institution, and are you able to share any top shareholders here?
Yeah, so 53% of the company is institutionally held, and that's exact. I actually was just working out the
53.
53. Yeah, I just was working out the numbers this morning, Steve. After we closed our financing last night, I just wanted to know that for sure for this call. So it's 53. That includes Crescat is one of the largest reporting ones. They're about 13.5, 14%, Steve. Then it kind of goes down from there between Alpania, Pathfinder, Mike Gentile, Agentis, who's our big shareholder, Steve, a fund in Hong Kong called Ascentus Capital Management. They own around about 13% as well now. And then we've got one new strategic partner that did a large placement in the financing. It's actually a producer. We're not going to disclose that name at this point, Steve, but they actually participated in the private placement and are probably the cornerstone lead order of the financing. They did a significant amount. They'll own around about 11% of the company on close here. So really solid shareholder base for institutions. And then in addition to that, between myself and Kevin and the Nesbitt family, Mike Nesbitt I've been talking about, I would say that we're around about 23 to 25%. So effectively 75% of the company is held between institutions and management. So there's really, really tightly held company.
And how many shares outstanding do you have fully diluted, and how many warrants?
All right. So right now, as of last night at 5 o'clock Pacific time, Steve, we have 273 million shares outstanding. There's just over 11 million options and 16 million RSUs and DSUs. We will award those to basically board and senior management on those. And the very first time Calo actually issued warrants was on this financing, Steve. We announced the financing on April the 2nd, so probably not the smartest day. to announce a financing, but we did announce it, and we decided with our advisors at 3L that we would attach a warrant. So there's 84 million warrants now. So fully diluted, it's 385.9 million, Steve.
Awesome. Well, we talked a bit about the jurisdiction, the corporate share structure, the team. We talked a bit about the financing, the plan a bit. Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners about, of all the mining companies out there, why Calo? What's the potential we're looking at? And do you have any risk that you're aware of that you can help mitigate for us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question, Steve. So just to touch a little bit on the country, because I do get asked that question a lot, and I think your investors will want to know a little bit about Fiji. And so Fiji, I find, is a absolutely an amazing place to work. There's two operating mines on the islands, one called Batokola. That's a 10 million ounce gold deposit. There's another one called Tuvatu, operated by another company called Lion One. That's just over 1 million ounces. And very recently, Newmont entered the country, Steve. They actually, through the Newcrest transaction, actually ended up acquiring a project called Namosi, which is about a 5 million ounce big porphyry copper gold system. And so we've got really good neighbors in the country. So jurisdiction-wise, all of our permits are been just recently renewed, so we're really in good standing there. I mean, my questions to investors or to junior companies all the time is, what about title? And that's one of the things that I ensure we take care of perfectly. Our community relations are unbelievable. We have a full-time Bete, super nice guy, works with us, with Mike, and we really maintain positive relationships with all the communities we work in. I think we're going to end up with about 30-some employees working for us over the next 9, 10 months. So, I have really good relationships in the community. The risks that I see are obviously not hitting, like that's the model doesn't work. That's how geology is. So, I mean, I'm a realist, and I understand that, some will hit, some will miss. So I recognize that. And, but, I'm very comfortable with the geological model. We use OceanaGold's Martha Mine in New Zealand as a good geological comparable. And it's very similar geologically, and we actually utilize a lot of their information. I mean, that's the good thing about 43-101 World, Steve, is that there's a lot of information that's available publicly. How do you find them? What are the signatures of them? So we can use a lot of that information to ensure our success from an exploration point of view. Rainy season comes January through March. It's not always very fun to do trenching and mapping and sampling in the rain. But we can drill all year. So that's a really nice thing about Fiji. Averages around 28 to 30 degrees, and the food is fantastic. So, I mean, it's really Indian. It's kind of a combination of Indian and Fijian. So you really can't go wrong. So I don't know if I exactly answered your question, but I mean, those not hitting gold is what keeps me up at night. But we have to make sure that we utilize every bit of info we've got, Steve, to ensure that we're successful. I'll tell you, a compilation and using historical data and doing geology. I mean, I get a lot of comments about my presentation, for example, and people are super happy to see that there's faults and geology and not just geophysical maps and, red dots and drill here sort of stuff. Like we're like really, really focused on proper geology. And that is something I'm super proud of, is that this team is really focused on geology and then layering in all the other bits of info that we need to, go and find mines. Things like that.
Terry, enjoyed our time. I enjoyed my time here with you. But if listeners have more questions or if they want to reach you, can you share more about your ticker symbols and where people can find you to find more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So KALO on the TSX Venture is definitely the best place to find out about our shares, for example. Calogoldcorp.com is our website. I'm going through a big overview of it right now, Steve. It's very up to date, but we're actually doing a big overhaul right now to include a little bit more information on the country and things like that. Over the last month, I've got a lot of comments from investors about questions that I've tried to answer here today, Steve. And what I'll do is I'm going to incorporate a lot of that into our marketing material. I work with a great team called Fairfax Partners that are helping us on marketing, Steve. They've been fantastic with all the media, you name it, all the visuals, website, making sure that we look smart. It's been really, really critical to that team for our success. Communicating to investors is really going to be the important thing for me, and spending my time in the field to ensure we're drilling in the right spot. So over the next 9 months, that's really what my focus will be, Steve, is making sure we're spending the money right and communicating that message to our shareholders.
Well, looking forward to following your story, and thanks for coming on our show.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks very much. Really nice to meet you.
Thanks.